Welcome. I'm E.G. Marshall. An honest man, we are told, is the noblest work of God, assuredly. And there are times, unfortunately, when it appears as if he is also the rarest. Honesty, sincerity, loyalty. Why do we call them simple virtues? These days they appear to be so complicated.
What kind of a job did you have in mind?
Well, I'm a first-class confidence operator and an all-around hustler. I can use a gun, but, hey, I think that's for suckers.
Hold it. I thought you said you wanted to change your way of life.
I do. I'm sick of penny ante swindles. I'm looking for something big. That's why I came to you.
Our mystery drama, Willie and Dilly, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Sam Dan and stars Fred Gwynn. It is sponsored in part by Contact, the 12-hour cold capsule. I'll be back shortly with Act One. In God we trust. All others pay cash. That's a sign we read in so many commercial establishments. And yet, no matter how cynical, skeptical, or worldly wise we are, the fact is our social order is based on absolute trust. Aren't we constantly placing our lives, our health, our fortunes into the hands of airplane pilots, cab drivers, lawyers, bankers, automobile mechanics? Like it or not, we are destined to be our brother's keeper, just as he is required to be ours. You're going to meet Mr. Harrison Dillard Wentworth. And Mr. Wentworth is every bit as imposing as his name. 55 years old, he is tall, white-haired, and handsome. You feel instinctively that he is just the man to handle your money.
Won't you have a chair, Mrs. Zurich?
That's pronounced Zurich, as in the Swiss city.
Oh, I see. Are you Swiss?
No. Zurich was the name of my late husband's stepfather.
How may I serve you, Mrs. Zurich?
I realize this is a very big firm, and that many of your clients are millionaires.
Are you also a millionaire, Mrs. Zurich? Or should I say, millionairess?
Neither one. I'm afraid I'm not even rich.
Yes?
I'm a widow. A very recent widow.
Oh, my sympathy.
I only have a few thousand dollars.
A few?
To you, it would be a few. Five, to be exact.
Oh?
Yes. I know exactly what that O means.
Well, Mrs. Zurich,
It means, what right do I have to take up the time of Harrison Dillard Wentworth himself? $5,000. That's hardly worth the attention of the smallest fry in the outermost office. Yes, now that I sit here and think about it, I realize how foolish I must seem to you. And how unimportant.
Mrs. Zurich, all of our clients are important.
But I also need financial advice. To me, $5,000 is a fortune.
Of course.
And I am an important person to myself. My needs are real and urgent. I want the best.
I understand.
I wonder if you do. You're a top man in the field. You deal in astronomical figures, I suppose. Now, how could you possibly understand a person like me?
Mrs. Zurich, permit me to inform you that I shall personally supervise your account.
I can't tell you how wonderful you've made me feel. What am I going to do? Cry?
Now, Mrs. Zurich.
I can't help it. I'm so happy. This is the first nice thing that's happened to me since Ogden died.
Ogden?
My late husband. I know very little about money, but he knew even less. Poor Ogden Zurich. He was just a sweet, kindly dreamer.
I shall prepare a modest, interesting portfolio.
And safe. It must be safe. That's why I demanded to see you and no one else. This money is all I have in the world. But I feel it's secure with you. Shall I write a check?
There are papers to be drawn up first.
Well, please do it.
And we should talk about various possibilities.
No, don't say that.
I'm sorry, did I?
No. I'm sorry. Forgive me. I had no right to flare up like that. But all my life I have been involved with men who like to talk. Ineffectual men. Who used conversation as a distraction for their inability to amount to anything. Here, for the first time, I feel I am in competent, capable hands.
I hope to be worthy of your trust. Excuse me. Yes? Oh, that's too bad. I suppose it means our lunch day is off. Call reserves and cancel my... No. Never mind. Mrs. Zurich?
Yes?
I hope you're free for lunch.
Oh, you don't have to feel that you...
But I do. I always take my important clients to lunch. Mm. Besides, we're about to begin an extremely intimate... that is, confidential relationship.
Oh.
I must know all about you, what your goals are, and so forth, if I am to invest your money prudently.
Prudently? I like the sound of that. I never knew a man before who actually thought in those terms.
Do you believe in fate?
But doesn't everyone?
Well, you see, I had a lunch date scheduled with a Mr. Jonathan Simpkins, a very wealthy gentleman. He's every bit of 60, yet he wears what's left of his hair down to his shoulders, dresses in jeans, and rides a motorcycle.
Oh, good for him.
He'll be in the hospital for at least a month.
Oh.
It was ordained. He was destined to run into that truck so that you and I could have lunch today.
Oh, I'm sorry to be the cause of Mr. Simpkins' accident.
Are you? I'm not.
Oh, what a fabulous restaurant. You only see places like this in the movies. To think I am actually lunching in a place like this. Do you know what I feel like? Champagne.
Ah, let me order some.
Oh, no, that's not what I meant. I don't feel like having champagne. I feel like champagne. When you look into the glass and you see it fizzing and bubbling, that's me.
Your eyes are glowing. I want to thank you.
You want to thank me? Why?
You just taught me a lesson.
What kind of lesson could I possibly teach you?
A lesson in how to live. You know, I've forgotten something very important. How to extract joy from the moment. I lunch here quite often, and I've been taking it just as a matter of course. If you'll pardon the pun. It's become just another eating place where food is merely an adjunct to a business conversation. But now...
Now?
Now you've reminded me why I came here the very first time. For the decor. Magnificent cuisine. You do enjoy things, don't you?
Oh, yes. When I get the chance.
Somehow I feel you didn't get too many chances in your lifetime, Mrs. Zurich. Mrs. Zurich, I don't even know your first name.
Oh, Wilhelmina. But my friends call me Willie.
Oh, no.
No?
This is rapidly becoming a day of the most fantastic surprises. Do you know what my friends call me?
I can't imagine.
Dilly.
Oh, I don't believe this.
It's true.
Dilly, a man of your stature and dignity? Who would dare?
My name is Harrison Dillard Wentworth. But for some reason, no one ever wanted to call me Harrison or even Harry. Everyone preferred the name Dillard, which soon became Dilly.
Dilly. Now that I say it again, it does seem to suit you somehow.
And so here we are. Willie and Dilly. Really, now, this has to be fate. Willie?
It's Willie. Unless you gave some other dame a key to the apartment.
Oh, tell me. How did it go?
How did it go? I'm back in school, and I come home to the sorority house from a date.
How does it happen you can never give a person a straight answer?
How did it go? The answer to that question is, I made him.
I knew it.
I had him the minute I walked into his office.
No, I figured you would. Hey, did you use the widow angle?
Well, if I read the signs, in about a week, he'll want to set me up in my very own little apartment.
Ooh, that's great.
Great, huh? Why are we doing this?
I told you. To make $1 million. Maybe more.
I don't see it. Oh, yes, I can get him to spend some money on me, but nowhere near $1 million. And where do you come in?
Don't worry about a thing.
Blackmail? You think he'd come up with $1 million just to keep his wife from finding out? I don't.
I told you. Don't worry about...
Or do you think the scandal would ruin him with his old-time conservative blue-chip customers?
You're not even warm, Willie.
Oh, yes, I am. Warm, vibrant, vital, alive. I am quoting Mr. Harrison Dillard Wentworth, also known as Dilly.
Yeah, will you just keep heating up, Mr. Harrison Dillard Wentworth, and I'll let you know when to take him out of the oven.
Oh, why can't you tell me what the angle is?
Isn't it better this way? All you have to do is concentrate on the job at hand.
No coffee, dear?
No, thank you, darling.
Oh, that's right. You've decided to cut down. Sorry I tempted you.
Actually, I don't have time. I must return to the office.
Billy, you haven't worked nights in years.
My dear, the heat is on. These are volatile times. Who knows where the economy is headed?
Yes, that's true.
And there's so much information to digest. We simply don't have the time to do it during the day.
But is it necessary for the boss to go in at night?
It's when the boss comes back at night that everyone starts to take things seriously.
Oh, you poor darling.
I hope you didn't have anything planned.
No, I didn't. But you did. Didn't you say Frank Miller was going to stop by for a chat?
That's right. He's in town for a while, and thoughtlessly, I had asked him to drop in for a drink. He's such a bore. Always moralizing about something.
Frank is one of your oldest friends.
Actually, we've outgrown each other. Only Frank doesn't realize it. I hate to hurt his feelings.
Well, I could give him a drink.
Would you, dear? I know he's dreadfully dull.
Well, I'll manage to get through the evening somehow. Would you be late?
I don't know. I hope not. But don't wait up for me.
Frank.
Good evening, Louisa.
Won't you come in?
Yes, thank you.
Dilly isn't home. He's been so busy lately. He had to go down to the office.
Oh.
I can offer you a drink.
Well, the reason I stopped by was because I wanted some advice.
Why don't you call him?
No. I don't want to bother him.
It shouldn't be a bother.
No, it can wait till tomorrow.
Now, how about that drink?
Although, I'm on a morning flight to Chicago, and I should speak with Dilly about this first.
Well, by all means, I'll get him on the phone.
Are you sure that it's no trouble?
Well, actually, I'm glad of an excuse to call.
Why? Do you want to check up on him?
What an idea. Dilly? He has no time for other women. Why, he hardly has enough time for me. Poor dear, he does put in long hours. But you know what he always says. The first part of your life, you work hard to make your money. The second part, you work even harder to keep it. Even so, this working late is a bad habit that should be nipped in the bud. Now, That's odd.
What is?
Well, I wonder, did I dial the right number? Oh, I'm sure I did.
Well, did he tell you definitely he was going to the office?
Well, now that you mention it, what he said was he might stop by at the office.
Oh.
Yes, he's probably out with a client.
Well, yes, I'm sure.
He's probably on his way home right now.
Of course.
What am I going to do?
Whatever it is she's going to do, she isn't going to do it until the second act.
So far, it has been our purpose to introduce a roster of characters, mix them and watch them, and see what fireworks we can ignite. You must admit we have some highly combustible materials. I'll be back shortly with Act Two. I have been faithful to thee, Cinera, in my fashion. Yes, trust a poet to justify his roving eye with such a prettily turned phrase. But has he touched a universal nerve here? Is there such a thing as complete and absolute and unwavering faithfulness? Or is each of us faithful in his or her own fashion? Well, you know what Professor Einstein said. Everything is relative.
Well, Frank, sit down.
Yes, thank you, Dillian.
Sorry I missed you that night last week.
Well, I wonder how to go about this.
Go about what?
Well, I might as well just dive in. What's her name, Dillian?
Whose name?
The girl you're having an affair with.
Now, see here, Frank. You have no right.
I'm your oldest friend. I have every right.
This is the most ridiculous accusation.
You weren't at the office that night. Louisa called you.
She called? Why?
Because I wanted to speak with you. And there was no answer.
Does she suspect?
Well, she doesn't want to. Well, Lily, what are you going to do about it?
What am I going to do?
I say cut it short. And let it end right now.
Listen, Frank.
Stay home. Be with her. And after a while, Louisa will believe that all her suspicions are groundless. Because that's what she wants to believe. And give up this woman, whoever she is.
I can't.
You have to.
Frank, I'm 25 years old all over again.
Now, that's nonsense.
Don't say that. This girl makes me feel like a boy.
Oh, sure.
I'm enjoying life. All of life.
Come on.
I have young ideas. Young reactions to things. You and I, Frank, we've become old and stodgy and set in our ways. You should get yourself someone, too. Be surprised what a new outlook on life it gives you.
Well, what about Louisa?
Louisa?
You still love her?
What a question.
Of course.
What does one thing have to do with another?
Where does a thing like this end?
Why should I think about that now? I'm only at the beginning.
Hi, baby.
You're late.
Well, I had some loose ends to tie up.
Such as?
Hey, you'll know everything in due time.
I think due time has arrived.
It's close, Willie, honey, close.
Well, I hope so. Because Mr. Harrison Dillard Wentworth is beginning to bore me. Norman, what is it we stand to make out of him? And don't tell me $1 million, because I heard that one before.
Yeah, but it's true.
How?
We're going to help him steal it.
Steal? He's going to steal?
Right.
Well, whatever you want to say about Billy Wentworth, he is not a crook.
You are wrong.
Norman, this man has a reputation as ethical as any...
I say he's a crook.
Well, everybody thinks he's absolutely on the level.
Everybody's wrong.
Oh, I see. Everybody's wrong but you.
Harrison Dillard Wentworth is a man who can't be trusted.
Mm-hmm. And where's your proof?
You are my proof.
Me?
And tell me, can Harrison Dillard Wentworth's wife trust him? I mean, should she?
Well,
So if she can, who else can?
It's not the same thing.
Oh, why not? A guy can be trusted, or he can't be trusted. If he can be trusted, anybody can trust him all the way. If not, it's just the question of the right girl, the right deal.
But there's never been a hint of him ever cheating on any of his clients.
Well, to me, that means he's never been caught.
And what do you think you can get him to steal?
Oh, some securities. Negotiable securities. At least $1 million worth.
Okay. Okay, Normie. Let's say you're right. He's a crook, and he would steal the securities.
Why does he need us? Why doesn't he just steal them himself?
Look, if he just puts the stuff in his pocket and walks out, he has to keep walking until he gets to a place somewhere in this world where there's no extradition treaty with the U.S. Such places are usually very rural and very dull, and not all Mr. Wentworth's idea of a good time. However, let us assume that the stuff is stolen from him. Do you see?
Oh.
Then he's in the clear. His hands are clean.
You think he would listen to such a proposition?
He'd be all ears.
If you're right about him, it sounds like a great idea.
I am, and it is. Now let me tell you how we're going to work it.
It's a lovely day, isn't it, dear?
What is so rare as a day in June? How does the rest of it go?
I'm not sure. But this is a rare Saturday. I have you home with me. Unless, of course, something happens to come up.
Darling, I've been neglecting you shamefully lately, haven't I?
I'm not complaining.
No. You're too good a sport for that.
I realize that what you're doing is absolutely necessary.
I may be overdoing it. After all, I'm not getting any younger.
You don't look very much older.
Did you have anything planned for today?
No, not really.
Do you mind if we don't go anywhere?
Of course not.
I'm just a bit tired. I'd just sort of like to sit around and relax.
Uh-oh.
I'll make short work of it. Hello? Yes.
I love you.
Oh. Well, yes.
I'm so lonesome.
Yes, I can understand that.
I could die. I want to see you.
I don't think so.
I have to see you.
I don't see how.
Feet are the usual story.
I'm not sure I can.
Oh, it's such a lovely day. You know what I want to do? I want to go to the track.
That's a rather difficult...
I want you to take me.
I understand.
And afterwards?
Maybe we could arrange it for another time.
You mean you'll let me go by myself?
Tom, I really appreciate this, and I won't let you down. Where are you now?
You know where to find me, sweetie.
All right. Goodbye, Tom. That was Tom Wesley. I don't know if you met him. We play squash at the club.
Oh.
He's been trying to get me together with a fellow from England who's got all sorts of money to invest. Man's going back tonight, and Tom thought it would be a good idea if he met me first.
Well, I suppose it's important.
Yes, it is. I really don't want to go. I'll cut it as short as I can. I knew you were the one I was looking for.
Oh, you admit you were looking.
Well, yes. Louisa is a good woman in many ways, but she's dull.
Oh, and so from time to time you look around for someone else to sort of liven things up?
None of the others ever meant anything to me.
Is that what you told each of them?
No. After a while, I told each of them goodbye.
And after a while, you'll say goodbye to me, too.
No, I never want to say goodbye to you.
What do you want to say to me?
I want to buy you an apartment.
Ah.
A lovely, luxurious apartment.
Is this a proposal?
I can't divorce my wife.
Why not?
I don't believe in it.
If she finds out, she'll divorce you.
In the first place, she won't find out.
How can you be sure?
Because she doesn't really want to find out.
And what's the second place?
She can't divorce me.
Who says so?
Practicality. The basic facts of life. She has no money of her own.
Really? Didn't the papers say you married an heiress?
She did come into some money when we were married. She gave it to me to go into business.
How much money?
About $1 million.
And you never gave it back to her?
No.
Why not?
She never asked me.
Suppose she does ask you.
She can ask, but there's no paper anywhere to prove it was a loan.
She just gave you the million.
What could she do? She loved me.
And now she's stuck.
You could say that.
Dilly. Now I really know why they call you Dilly.
Hello there, Willie.
Tell me who you like in the next race.
Hey, what's the matter, Willie? Don't you know me?
Do you know this person, Willie?
I never saw him before in my life.
That's a laugh.
Sir, please, you're annoying this lady.
Well, that's another laugh.
Well, you're giving me a choice. I can either ask that police officer to come over here, or I can handle you myself.
Oh, that'll look great in the papers. Even greater on the 11 o'clock news. Broker gets into fist fight over woman at the racetrack.
Just what are you after?
Well, notice all the neat little time bombs in that headline. Woman, racetrack.
I'll ask you again. What do you want?
What do I want?
Don't listen to him.
I want maybe a little human warmth. Maybe a hello. Maybe even a little kiss from my own sister. That's what I want.
Willie, is this person your brother?
If she's my sister, I have to be her brother.
Can't you let me alone? Do you always have to ruin things for me?
Is that a way to talk to a brother who you haven't seen in 10 years?
And why haven't I seen you in 10 years? Because you've been in jail.
Willie, dear, we can't have a scene.
That's why he's here. Unless you give him money.
How can you say that about your own brother?
You're no good. You never were. And you'll never be worth anything. You're just a crook.
Well, that's behind me.
Oh, sure.
From now on, things are going to be different.
I heard that before.
I mean it. I really mean it. I had 10 years to learn my lesson. I don't want to go through that again.
I don't believe a word you're saying.
I'm still your brother.
All right, Naomi. How much do you want this time?
I don't want money. I want a chance.
To do what?
No, dear. He does seem sincere enough.
You don't know him like I do.
Well, give me a break, will you?
All right, I will. Come up to my office first thing tomorrow morning.
Don't start anything. Just give him a couple of dollars and you'll get rid of him.
Please, Willie, I'm a changed person. Don't you believe me?
No.
Well, I do.
Don't.
My dear, I am an excellent judge of character. I have faith in this man.
If he has, he has. What can we do about it? Things are proceeding apace. Our little web has been spun, and our spider steps aside temporarily to allow the fly to enter. However, who is the spider and who is the fly? This shall be unraveled in Act 3 shortly.
No one cooks but me, so no one's in the kitchen. No one sees the baggage.
Mrs. Donna Doinek talks about buying food that's sure to please her family.
When I buy Kraft macaroni and cheese, I know that it's something that we're going to be satisfied with. My family doesn't know what I put on the table. I mean, they see it in the bowl and they see it on their plate, and the only way they tell the difference is when they put it in their mouth. It just so happens that they've always been satisfied with Kraft.
Kraft macaroni and cheese dinner. You know they're going to like it.
Maxwell House's coffee you can count on. Maxwell House, good to the last job. Maxwell House in.
Good morning.
Maxwell House in.
Good company.
Good to the last job. Maxwell House.
Maxwell House, coffee you can count on. Always smells good, always tastes good, always good to the last drop.
Maxwell House,
good coffee.
Good to the last drop, Maxwell House.
Maxwell House, coffee you can count on.
New York, Chicago, St. Louis, Miami, Seattle. Our biggest cities are sending out cries for more VISTA volunteers. VISTA means Volunteers in Service to America. VISTA volunteers work with groups of inner city residents to tackle the many urban problems that can't be solved alone. By working together with local leaders, entire neighborhoods can be restored. Job training centers can be created. Educational programs, health, and legal services can be expanded to reach all who need them. VISTA means working through the democratic process.
Keep your eye on the ball. This is the advice that can be followed with profit by both athletes and roulette players. Yes, sometimes the mouth works quicker than the mind. And we all know the hand can be faster than the eye. And therefore, since lightning outpaces thunder, by the time you hear the crash, the flash has already done its job.
Yes? Who? Oh, send him in. Well, Norman, sit down. Now then, I understand you're looking for something to do.
Yes, yes, that's right.
For obvious reasons, I can't give you a job in my office.
Oh, that's all right, I understand.
But I do know people. Tell me, what can you do?
I'm a first-class confidence operator.
I beg your pardon?
I'm a good hustler. I know how to work a scheme. Under certain highly specialized conditions, I'll use a gun.
Now, just a minute. Is that the kind of job you're looking for?
Well, that's the only kind of jobs I'm qualified for.
One or both of us must be laboring under a misapprehension.
Well, it isn't me.
Norman, I distinctly heard you tell your sister you're a changed person.
Well, that's true.
You said you had reformed.
Oh, no, I didn't.
Oh, I distinctly remember.
I said I was all through with the stupid stuff. And from now on, things are going to be different.
But you seem to have no intention of changing your ways.
Oh, I do. From now on, the stupid stuff is out. I've been in and out of jail most of my life. And do you know for what? Peanuts. Coffee and cake. You know what I learned?
Obviously, not very much.
No. I learned a very basic lesson. If a man steals a whole country, he goes down in history as a hero. If he steals $10 from somebody's wallet, he becomes a common thief and a jailbird.
I do not see the relevance.
When it comes to stealing, the bigger the prize, the better the chance of getting away with it.
If this is your attitude, I don't know what there is for us to talk about.
Personally, I'd like to steal $1 million.
$1 million?
Yeah, it's a nice round sum.
I'm a busy man. You must excuse me.
Wouldn't you like to steal $1 million?
I, sir, am not a thief.
Why do you say that?
I don't know why I sit here and prolong this nonsense.
No. Just tell me why you think you're not a thief.
Putting it as plainly as I know how, I can be trusted with other people's money.
Oh, I don't think so.
Your opinion is of no consequence. Now, sir, if you will please...
The reason I say that is because you can't be trusted with other people's affections. Your wife's, for example.
If you don't leave my office at once, immediately, I'm going to have you thrown out.
Well, now just think this over. You have a couple of branch offices. You're always sending cash and securities from here to there. Some of them can amount to a lot of money. You could tip me off when a shipment is on the way. And who the messenger is and I, well, I could relieve him of his burden. And we would split.
How dare you?
Dare? What's there to dare? You're in or you're out.
Get out of here.
You know where to reach me.
I said, get out.
On second thought, cash could be traced. And besides, $1 million in cash might need an armored car.
Did you hear what I just said?
Negotiable bonds. You know, bearer bonds. You could get about $1 million worth in an attaché case, couldn't you?
Do you want me to throw you out of here?
Oh, no, I'm leaving. But you know where to reach me. Just ask Willie.
What did you say to him? I never heard a man rave like that in my life.
I gave him the proposition.
I told you he wouldn't go for it.
Oh, he went for it.
Are you crazy? Another 5 seconds and he would have thrown you out the window.
Now, Willie, let me tell you what's happening. It's churning and turning and burning around inside his brain.
Oh, come off it, Norman.
Ooh, he sees a chance to get away with $500,000.
But he's rich. Why should he steal?
You think only poor people steal?
He has all the money he could ever need.
Stealing is something you do because you're a thief in your heart. Hey, I ought to know. And behind that dignified, white-haired front is a guy who's basically a hustler.
But he doesn't need the money.
Sure he does. $500,000, tax-free, that he doesn't have to account for. And by this time, he's anxious to do it. He can taste it.
That's your boy now. Answer it.
Hello?
Willie.
Hi.
I'm not here. Listen, darling, is your brother around?
Give him the virtuous list.
Look, the less you have to do with that no good brother of mine, the better I'll like it.
I think I have a job for him.
Oh, don't bother.
Now, darling, please. We do have to give him a chance, don't we? Tell him I'd like to see him.
Miss Dayton, no calls. I don't want to be interrupted for the next half hour.
We don't need a half hour, Mr. Wentworth.
How soon can we put this plan into operation?
I knew you'd like it.
We don't have to discuss anything other than the operational facts.
Well, when can you have something worthwhile?
I have about $800,000 worth of highly negotiable bonds that I can send to my downtown branch.
And how do you do it?
One of my employees here is my confidential messenger.
And he just takes the stuff?
That's right.
How come nobody ever jumped him?
Because nobody has any reason to suspect what he carries. Only my downtown associate and I are aware of the transfer.
Tell me, how does he go?
By taxicab.
Okay. Tip me off exactly when he's due to leave, and I'll have a friend of mine and a hack in front of the building. We'll do the rest.
Sounds good.
What can go wrong?
A 50-50 split for you? Sounds like a great deal.
Well, I'm taking all the risk, right? The thing goes sour, and you're still in the clear.
Where do we meet to settle our accounts?
Willie's apartment.
When is the best time for the activity?
10:00. 10:00 tomorrow morning. By that time, the morning traffic jam is over. The streets will be clear.
I'll point the man out to you. You'll be carrying a black leather attaché case.
Worth 800,000 in bonds.
Right.
Okay, partner.
How do I look?
Well, you ought to cut your hair, Willie.
Plenty of cab drivers have long hair.
Don't wear makeup. Dress in denims. A messenger won't know if you're a girl or a boy.
Do you know him?
Yeah, until he gave me a good look at.
How much time do we have?
We better get going right now.
Listen, Mommy. It's the first time since I've known you that you're using a gun.
Hey, I'm not using it. Just carrying it.
But, Mommy, if something goes wrong...
Come on, baby. Positive thinking here. Positive thinking.
Oh, please don't for any reason fire that thing.
The gun is for show and tell. It isn't even loaded.
Miss Dayton. Have Snelling come in here, please. Thank you. What's that? My wife's on the phone. Tell her I'm rather busy right now and that I'll call her as soon as I get a chance. Snelling.
Yes, sir.
The bonds you brought in from the vault yesterday, they're ready.
Very good, sir.
They're in this attaché case and they're needed downtown right away.
I understand, sir.
It's 10:00. Can you leave now?
I don't know why not. Oh, I didn't know you had someone in the cab here.
Hop in, pal. We're waiting for you.
What's the idea?
You know what the idea is. Now, just come in quietly and you won't get hurt.
Look, you can't get away with...
Be nervous. This gun isn't going to go off unless you make it. What do you have such a sweat about? Hey, it isn't your money.
Please, don't shoot.
Now, come on. Just put that nice attaché case on the front seat next to the nice young man driving. That's it. And now, we're going to slow down at the corner. And you know what you're going to do? You're going to open the door and hop out.
Yeah.
Now open the door. Huh? Out you go, pal. Okay, Willie, we're on the corner. We'll dump the cab and get into our car. Okay, relax. Keep it down, Willie. We're in the clear. Let's not get picked up for speeding. Go on, turn on the radio. Head for the throughway.
The throughway? Are we going to the apartment?
What for?
Well, are we supposed to meet Wentworth there and give him his cut?
What for?
Oh. Yes. Now that you mention it, was born indeed.
800,000 in lovely negotiable bonds, and it's all ours.
Ladies and gentlemen, we interrupt for a news bulletin. There has been a spectacular holdup. A messenger for the brokerage firm of Wentworth and Company has just been robbed of a black attaché case with $1 million in bonds inside. More details as soon as we get them.
$1 million? Either they exaggerate, or we did better than expected. Let's open this thing up and count it. And let's see. Hey, Willie. Willie!
What is it?
Inside the attaché case. There are no bonds here.
What?
Hey, look out! It's paper. Just sheets of paper. Wait a minute. Something's written down here. One good turn deserves another. Isn't it a dilly?
He wrote that.
He was wise to it all the time.
Hey, Louisa.
Hello, Frank. May I order you a drink?
Well, I flew down as soon as I got your cable. What are you doing here in Brazil? I mean, South America.
Enjoying the beautiful scenery, the comfort. Isn't it lush?
Well, Dilly is tearing his hair out. He never thought you'd ever run out on him.
Dilly takes things for granted sometimes.
For a moment, I was afraid you'd run out on me, too.
Oh, darling, never.
But you told me you were broke. How can you afford...
I have plenty of money now.
Oh, where did you get it?
I found it.
You found it?
Do you remember the day Dilly's messenger was held up?
Oh, yes.
That morning, I found a black attaché case on the desk in Dilly's room. I'd never seen it before, so I called Dilly at the office to ask him about it. But I couldn't get through. The next thing I heard was a news bulletin on the radio announcing a holdup. It said something about a black attaché case filled with bearer bonds. I don't know what possessed me. I just opened the attaché case, and there they were. The bonds.
Oh, how did they get there?
I really don't know. Although, no, I shouldn't say this. Well, why not? It's entirely possible that Dilly staged the holdup.
What are you saying?
He arranged to have someone take the attaché case from poor Snelling at gunpoint.
What if the case was stolen from Snelling? How would it be in the house?
That puzzled me. Then I figured there might be two cases. Dilly had filled one with the bonds the night before and brought it home. Then he gave an empty one to Snelling.
And so the robbers got nothing for the pains. Do you really believe Dilly could be a thief?
Why not? He stole my affection. Why shouldn't he steal money?
But, darling, you stole the money from him.
Precious. It was my money. He borrowed almost $1 million from me when we were married. I was only getting some of my own back.
Yes, indeed. That is the sweetest thing a woman, or a man for that matter, can do. Get some of your own back. And the longer you wait, the better it tastes. I'll have another tasty tidbit for you, and you won't have to wait too long for it either.
Rattle Shop! It's the best to make summer more fun. Rattle Shop! Wraps up everything under the sun.
Barbecues, I use strong, heavy-duty Reynolds Wrap. I line the grill with it. Seems to make charcoal heat spread evenly. And it beats all for cooking potatoes and corn and for juicy grilled chicken. When you wrap in Reynolds Wrap, you zip through barbecue cooking. Easy.
Reynolds Wrap. Reynolds Wrap.
Discover the Dermasoft formula for hard, callous skin. Apply Dermasoft cream to feet, hands, and elbows as directed. Dermasoft gives you the same callus-removing ingredient that doctors use most. Now you can soften and remove hard, callous skin without painful cutting or scraping. Dermasoft cream. Dermasoft.
Laxatives work in different ways. X-Lax pills gently stimulate your system's own natural rhythm. That's the difference. X-Lax pills, for occasional use only as directed.
Fellow Americans, if you're still shopping here and there and everywhere for shoes, hold it right where you are.
your feet together, stop running around. Just step around a kitty and you'll cover the ground. Anywhere you want to go, head your feet in our direction. Kitty's got it all. Take it now. Give your gold to contact.